Good morning, everyone. It's good to be able to see you this beautiful Sunday morning. But visitors, it's great to have you with us here on this beautiful day. I know we have some people visiting from out of town, so it's great to have you with us here this morning. You know, today is a day, September 11th. Of course, many are familiar with what happened 15 years ago in New York City with many different lives who were lost September 11th. And so what we're going to do just for about a brief moment, just take, before we continue, just take a moment of silence, just to remember the lost victims, and then we'll continue with our time together. Amen. Let's continue our time together. Well, it is good to be back. As mentioned, been away for about 3.5 months, so it is good to be back with you. It was good to be able to be with you last Sunday. Good to be with you. Of course, for the members, we had a meeting on Friday night, which is a good time. And so definitely, there's so much work to do, but definitely great to see. You know, God is in control. God's going to do amazing things in the church, and look forward to seeing all the different things that God has planned. You know, it is interesting. You know, I know Danny was telling me, he goes, so, you know, how are you feeling about, you know, going up and preaching after being away for a while? I said, well, I think I'm going to be okay. The last 24 hours, I've been like thinking, I'm not sure what I'm going to talk about. I had everything planned. I said, okay, I learned this while I was away. I learned this, which I'm going to share over the next months to come. But I was like, okay, my mind is on brain overload, on emotional overload, and I was thinking, what am I going to talk about today? And then as I woke up this morning, I think, okay, I got my sermon plan I'm going to talk about, and I was like, okay, I don't think I'll be nervous. Got up this morning, I'm like, I'm nervous. And I was like, okay, what am I, you know, I'm going to get up there, am I going to forget to, I started leaving for church today, I was like, am I missing something? I was like, oh yeah, my sermon's on the table. So I should probably make sure, don't forget your sermon. There's all these different things, and I was sitting there, okay, I'm going to get to preach, a little rusty, not sure what people are going to think. So all these different insecurities started coming and thinking different things, and I was like, you know what, I need to just go and spend some time praying to God. So I spent time praying to God and going, oh God, I put everything in your hands. And so now I'm like, okay, now it's time to preach God's word. And so for some reason, you don't like it, please come back next week. But it is good to be here this morning. What I'm going to talk about this morning, the title is Power Made Perfect in Weakness. And of course, that's God's power made perfect in weakness. A seaman meets a pirate in a bar, and they take turns boasting of their adventures on the high sea. The seaman notes that the pirate has a peg leg, a hook, and an eye patch. The seaman asks, so how do you end up with a peg leg? The pirate replies, we were in a storm at sea, and I was swept overboard into the water with the sharks. Just as my men were pulling me out, a shark bit my leg off. Wow, said the seaman. What about your hook? Well, replied the pirate, while my men and I were plundering in the Middle East, I was caught stealing from a merchant, and the punishment for theft in the Middle East is the loss of the hand that steals. Incredible, remarked the seaman. How did you get the eye patch? He said, a seagull dropping fell into my eye, replied the pirate. So to see a man very confused, said, "You lost your eye to a seagull dropping?" "Well," said the pirate, "it was my first day using the hook." And of course, in his power, of course, he didn't get familiar with his hook yet. But anyway, nonetheless, you know, but these guys spend their time kind of, you know, boasting back and forth. You know, it is so easy to boast about our strengths, boast about so many different things in life. You think about society, people tend to boast about, you know, what they do, whether it be careers, their sports, their responsibility, what they accomplished. Some people might boast about what they have, whether it be money, possessions, you know, trying to in life keep up with the Joneses. But when we read, we're going to read, you know, the Apostle Paul had a very different approach with the church in Corinth and also with the religious community that was around him. If you have a Bible, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. You know, just in case you're wondering, you might be wondering, what is that thing on his shirt that's kind of sticking here? It's actually eyeglasses. So it's one of those things where we're thinking about, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. To me, it's more, I got to just focus on making sure I see straight. So for me, it's one of those things where, you know, reading eyeglasses like this don't do much for me because it's blurry. To be able to see someone at the back very clearly, I got to put on my eyeglasses. So that's another kind of adjustment. So what I'm saying is, you guys look very sharp, just like this. I take this off, and of course I'm adjusting. Now I shouldn't have probably put those on. Now I'm adjusting to making sure for a few seconds, just to kind of get back to focus. So I might, at time to time, if I wanted to maybe see someone, just put the glasses on. I may take them off, but just so you know, it's wearing glasses time for me nowadays. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 1, it says, "I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong.'" And as we continue our time together, let's go to our Father and pray. Father, we do thank you so much that we're able to gather here this morning, friends, family, guests, to be able to take some time to worship you. And Father, thank you so much for all that you've done in our lives. Thank you so much, God, for the church and each and every member in the congregation. And Father, thank you so much for those who are visiting today who may be seeking you, may have different questions as to different things that are going on in their life. And Father, I do pray that as we study your word here today, that Father, your spirit can really work among us, that your spirit can really allow our hearts to hear the things you want us to hear. And Father, I do pray that your spirit can work through me here today. Father, help me to put on my heart, God, the words you want me to speak. And Father, even the things that I may have prepared, Father, if it is not what you want me to communicate, Father, please do not allow me to say it. So that, Father, in any way, Father, in every way, Father, we can be able to glorify you here today. We can be encouraged, Father, in our relationship with you. And Father, we can make decisions to walk, continue to walk in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much that we'll be here today. Please bless our study as we study your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Power made perfect in weakness. You know, the Apostle Paul had a lot to boast about. You know, numerous churches that he started, people he raised up and people he mentored, the people he converted, even the great revelations and visions that had been given him. You know, he had great success. And it's only natural to talk about these accomplishments rather than the personal imperfections. However, Paul chose not to boast about these accomplishments and strengths, but instead to boast about his weaknesses. You know, that is not something that is common in society, in life, even for many of us. You know, you think about when you're looking for a job. You know, of course, on your resume, of course, there's not a section for here are my weaknesses. But you're putting all your strengths, all experiences. But, you know, when you go to an interview, they might say, well, great, those are your strengths, but what are your weaknesses? But it's important to be able to identify them, to be able to, of course, work on them. But, you know, when you read through the scriptures, one of the themes of the scriptures is that anyone who has had a radical impact for God did so because God used their weaknesses and personal imperfections for his greater purpose. You think about Jacob, who was considered a cheater and a deceiver. You think about Jonah, someone who was fearful and disobedient to God. You think about Moses, who had anger issues. And the list goes on. And when you read through the scriptures, you see that, you know what? It doesn't matter who we are or who's walking behind us. It doesn't matter who we are before God. That God can take us in our imperfections and weakness and do incredible things. And in this chapter, Paul shares again about his life. He shares with the church. He does not to draw attention to himself, but to show what God is able to do with him in his imperfections and his weaknesses. But he does talk about, you know, how he was given a thorn to keep him from becoming conceited. It was given him a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan. It says to torment me. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, one of the things I want to draw our attention to today is that, you know, every thorn has a purpose. You know, Paul was given this thorn, and it's not very clear as to what this thorn was. You know, we don't know. But Paul, we know that he considered it sent from Satan. And we do know that it troubled him a great deal. And you think about, you know, even what Doug shared earlier, and you think about what Paul is sharing in this section. You know, there are times when Satan will do things for our destruction. And even in those situations, God is able to use it for our good. It's kind of like in a situation where, in many different situations we face in life, God is right here, Satan's right here. And both are looking for an opportunity to use whatever situation for their good. And so many theologians question whether this was spiritual, thorn, or physical, or emotional. We don't know. But we do know this, that it nagged him, gave him much pain, and that it was a problem in his life. Some believe the thorns could be physical issues, a hurt, hardship, hang-ups, But God used it to remind him of his own inadequacies, weaknesses, and also that he's not the one that's in control. You know, today in life, there could be things that are thorns for us. It could be something that, you know, that is nagging us. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something that we believe has come from Satan per se. But it could be a difficulty, a challenge. We don't know why it happened. But it's something that is nagging us, troubling us. You know, it could be a tragedy, death of a loved one. You know, as I mentioned time in the past, and again, you know, I think about, you know, I've always wondered, you know, why would this happen to my mom and her stroke? Why would something like that have happened? And I prayed more than the three times for that to go away, only realizing, you know, I'm not sure what God's plan in it is. For some, it could be financial setback, loss of a job. It could be a difficult relationship. It could be a relationship with a friend. It could be a difficult relationship with a parent, a relationship with a child. That is a situation that it's on your heart. It causes pain. It's nagging at you. You're like, Frank, can I just have this removed from my life? It could be a neighbor. You know, we've had that living. We've had that living where, you know, for whatever reason, we've had neighbors who have moved into, like, next door, where we've had neighbors who, you know what, cranked the music up. We've had one neighbor who had their parties, had their dog that, you know, the dog had no concept of time. So barking at 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock at night, continue barking. And so even if you talk to the person, it's like, oh, you know what, my dog has a heart condition. That's just how the dog is. No matter how much we say to them, you know what? I got something I call sleep that I wouldn't mind having. And so that person moved, you're like, okay, great. I can't wait to meet the new neighbors. New neighbor came a couple years ago, and he was just to release stress, cranks up the stereo. Stereo's going loud and loud, and so I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to try to get to sleep. 12 o'clock, 1:30, and I'm like, you know what? I've had it. I'm going to knock on his door, knocking on his door, and I'm like, you know, can't hear me? Pounding on the door. And I was like, you know what? Let me call City. They can come take care of it. And so he was like, you know, no, I'm, afterwards I met him, and he's like, no, I was there. I was like, maybe he wasn't there. He's like, no, I was home just trying to, you know, recoup from a stressful day. That's what I said. I was like, wow. As he's telling me this, I'm like, and he's like, yeah, you know what? I'm sorry. I was like, okay, great. So he moved just months ago. So we're like, great. So then the house was, a couple months ago he moved. So we're like, get back from being away over the summer. And lo and behold, we see the car pull up a couple days ago. We're already like, God, I pray. I just pray just for some neighbors who just get the concept of respecting other people, just the concept of don't play your music loud because your neighbor has to get some sleep. So we know that some people kind of are moving in. We've not met them yet, but all I know is Karen said they have a small little child. So I was like, I hope the music's not loud. I don't think it will be, because if they have a small child, chances are it won't. So we'll see. But sometimes we pray for something to happen. But you know, all of that time when we did have these neighbors, I was like, you know, okay, God, teach me patience as I go and talk with this person. Let me not speak out of anger or frustration. God, help me to speak out of kindness and speak out of patience. You know, all of us in one way have, again, some thorn. But you know what I realize more and more for myself and maybe for yourself? You know, that thorns in our life, they change our perspective. You know, it did for Paul. Paul realized this thorn had been given him was, again, to remove any form of pride. And sometimes when things happen, for whatever reason, there's always different things to learn from it. Whether it's pride, whether it's, you know, being impatient, there's always something in every situation to learn, hey, what is God teaching me in this different situation? But this situation, it kept Paul humble, he said. To remain humble in light of what he accomplished or would accomplish as well in the future. You know, also thorns challenge us to be God dependent. You know, Paul said he prayed 3 times. Lord, take away this thorn and pain away from me. You know, very similar to Jesus when he was going to the cross. Father, it's possible, may this be taken from me, but not as I will, but as you will. But we see in the end, the same way for Paul, the same way for Jesus. The answer was no. The very thing that he wanted God to take away was the very thing he needed to stay connected to God. You know, have you ever prayed repeatedly for God to remove something from your life, only to hear no? Sometimes it could be not yet. But in those times, it's when we become more and more dependent on God. Instead of taking away the thorn, God reminds us that his grace is more than enough. That his grace is all we need, that it is sufficient for us. You know, if you were to track, think about your life. Think about your life as a Christian. Think about the times in your life where you've had some difficulties and some challenges. And then think about the times when in those situations you went and sought out God. And to think about how you felt. I know the times when I felt overwhelmed, I had pain in my heart, confused, when I just went and prayed to God, feeling anxious. Then being able to, after, feel the peace of God. When feeling down, discouraged, to feel the comfort of God, to go and pray to God, to experience the comfort of God. That's another different sides of God's character we learn in difficult times. We can't learn about the peace of God if we're not anxious. We can't learn about the comfort of God if we're not going through trouble. But sometimes we might see the goodness of God. And we might, of course, we'll see God's love, God's goodness, because God is blessing us, life is good. So we're like, you know, life is good, God is good. But sometimes we miss a part of God's character that God wants to show us in difficult times. And Paul had to learn the value of suffering for his spiritual gift. You know, God was not withholding his blessing at this point, I believe, but was pointing to the direction where the blessing could be found. But the blessing wouldn't necessarily come from the removal of what the problem is. But the blessing would come from God when it's surrendered to God in prayer. You know, God does teach us many different things about ourselves. And as I mentioned Friday and over time, you know, God continues to, you know, shape me as a minister, as a man, and helping me to work on things in my own heart and character. You know, it's interesting, after my sabbatical, it was August 23rd, we had a few days before we were getting ready for a trip. And so we got back on the Wednesday, and we're like, okay, let's get ready. We're going to go to Philadelphia, see the church. So on the Wednesday, we get back, and then all of a sudden, the Thursday, we're trying to get some things together. And lo and behold, I'm driving down the street, Karen, myself, and Eric, we're driving. And all of a sudden, some man is like beeping us. And, you know, maybe he thought that we cut him off. Man's beeping us, and we're like, okay. And so we pull into a Carlingwood Shopping Center. And all of a sudden, we pull into the shopping mall here, and the man drives straight. We're like, okay, he's gone. Pull into the shopping center, park the car. All of a sudden, you hear the wheels kind of squeal in the parking lot. They're like, there's the man. There's the man that was beeping us. I was like, okay, Karen, Eric, I'm going to get you guys into the mall to make sure everything's okay. So I was like, okay, let's get them in the mall. The man came out of the car. I'm like, why is he standing 6 cars down here? So I'm like, okay, he's obviously standing there for some reason. And I think I'm the reason So I was like, okay, let me just make sure, bring them into the mall. And I was like, okay. 10 minutes later, I'm like, let me go outside and just see if he's still outside. So I go outside. I'm like, okay, I don't see him. So my next thing is, let me go look at my car. So now I'm like walking around my car going, no flat tire. Car looks good. Car's fine. All of a sudden, I get on his side, and there's this deep key mark right in our car, right from the whole length of its car door. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And so then I go in to tell Karen, and I was like, you know, Eric's kind of wondering what's happening. So they're out there, just, you and mommy, there's some things going on. And so then all of a sudden, I go tell security and all this kind of stuff. And so then I'm like, okay, security, when all said and done, they said, oh, we actually got the man on camera. I'm like, okay, standing beside your car, and of course he had no business. His car was six cars down. So obviously they got him on camera, and so, you know, the police and security are taking care of it right now. We actually, positioned when we were going, we actually had prayed. Eric was like, we need to pray. I was like, okay, great, let's pray. And we were praying that, you know, somehow the guy gets caught. But during that time when it happened, I got kind of quiet. And I was thinking, going, okay, I can, you know, part of me was like, okay, I'm getting ready to get back into things, decide to get back and see the church, go to Philly. Then I'm like, okay, now this thing happened. And I'm sitting going, okay, I got a few options I could do here. And I know one was, okay, we need to pray. But inside, I'm like starting to, yeah. Now I'm starting to get, okay, I can see that Satan's like wanting to, you know, get me upset. Part of me in my mind, a quick thought's like, okay, he could still be here in the mall. Maybe we should drive around and give him a piece of my mind. And then we're like, you know what? Just leave it in God's hands. Not gonna, you know, not just, it's just a car. It's not a, you know, Santa Fe. It's not an Audi. If it was an Audi, maybe it'd be a little different. Or some other kind of, you know, car. But, you know, when all said and done, it's, well, you know, I was like, okay, what? It's a car. What are you going to do? And so all said and done, I was like, I should leave it in God's hands. But for a moment, I felt my heart was starting to go, okay, you know what? Now I'm starting to get tempted to get angry. And I was like, you know what? I just need to surrender this to God in prayer. And just leave it in His hands. You know, there are different situations that we face where, you know, whether it be something happens in our life where we feel like, okay, you know what? We want to do this. You know, what I want to learn is that, you know, in different situations, just leave it in God's hands and trust God. Who knows why things happen or what can come of it? I think in those situations, just to trust God and leave it in God's hands. And what I learned is that, you know, in those different times, God allows those different things for a different purpose. And that purpose is to help me to be like Christ when I feel like maybe someone has not been Christ-like towards me. But what matters is, no matter what happens, no matter if I feel like this person did this or did that, and what matters is not my necessarily first and foremost how I feel. What matters is I need to be like Christ in every situation. For you, it could be a family situation. It could be something with a child, something with a parent. But as a disciple, I want to challenge to say, you know what? When all said and done, the goal is to be like Christ. That things are going to happen for different reasons, but always remember that we're disciples of Jesus, and we always need to make sure we respond in every situation like Christ. You know, God's power works in our weaknesses. You know, Paul boasts in his weaknesses. You know, why is it again so easy to boast about, talk about accomplishments, so difficult to boast about weakness? You know, again, it's our culture where exposing weaknesses is seen as a failure. Pride, we care about what people think of us, or we want to be accepted rather than rejected, or rather than be judged. You know, sometimes as a minister, sometimes I think, okay, you know what? Well, as a minister, I need to be, you know, I'm a minister. People are dependent on me, so, you know, I got to be strong. And so, you know, as I read and as I reflect, I'm like, you know what? I need to be dependent on God. You know, whatever strength I have is not going to get me very far. Well, what I need to do, I need to be dependent on God and allow God to give me the strength and just be who I need to be. You know, when we boast about our weaknesses, I do believe humility is at work. That Paul's ability to boast came only after his encounter with God. You know, often we hear about turning our weaknesses into strengths. And I do believe that God will work in different situations to turn a weakness into strength. But you know what? When I read this text, I think, I don't always, in different situations, that is what Paul had in mind. Because you think about it, if all of our weaknesses in our lives are turned into strengths, then where is the opportunity for God's power to be seen? I do believe Paul had in mind another transformation, and it does not involve the removal of our weakness, but the transformation of our perspective towards our weakness. Because we can believe, you know, all my weaknesses will be gone, and I'll be a strong disciple. And sometimes we can get frustrated when we're trying to change something that's a weakness, and we try to change it year after year, and it's still a weakness. You know, maybe that weakness is going to be something there that it's going to be with us until the very day that we're taken off this earth. Doesn't mean God loves us any less. Doesn't mean that God still can't work in our life. If anything, that is when God can accomplish his power despite our weakness and our limitations. That God can help us to deny ourselves when we are selfish. God can help us to be humble when we're prideful. That God can help us to be patient when we're impatient. That he can help us to be bold when we're cowardly. That he can help us to be forgiving when we're unforgiving. Now, Paul does not say, I will boast all the more that my weaknesses are gone. But I'll boast all the more about my weaknesses because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Paul was able to look at his weaknesses and see God working and know that God can work no matter whatever weaknesses that we have. And it was Paul's hope that when people looked at him, they would see his weaknesses, but they would also see the power of God. You know, we can see the transformation about Paul's life when he writes, you know, I delight in weaknesses. You know, it's very easy to overlook one of our most powerful assets, and that's our weakness. That one of our most powerful assets is our weakness, because it helps us to be dependent on God. And when confronting our weaknesses and failures, easily thought as to be negative. You know, accepting our weaknesses is a vital part of achieving the state of delight that Paul was able to experience, because it was able to help him rely on God and lead him to where God wants him to go. God used the thorn to keep him humble, but also to enable him to realize his need to rely on God and to trust in God's grace. You know, difficult times can be times when we reevaluate our lives and return to some basic teachings of Christ. Difficult times are opportunities for us to be reminded of our need for God's love and grace in our lives, and that our relationship with God is really all that we really need. You know, as we go about our day, as we think about our lives, as we think about the church, as we think about our family, you know, let's remember that that in every situation, God will work to teach us something. We just got to open our eyes to see what it is God's trying to help us to see. And we need to look to God, pray to God, put our weaknesses, our trials, our difficulties in God's hand, and allow God to show his power that is made perfect in weakness. Have a great week. God bless.